are on, and I'll put it in right here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CCNR committee for the Kemmerer Park CSA. Today is Monday, November 1st. We're calling this meeting to order at 5:35. And our first item of business is call to order, which I just did, and the second is roll call. Jill?
Okay. Community member Bob Detta is here.
Present.
And we've got community member Patricia Rivera is here. Kelly Cantola is on vacation, so he is absent. And Ellie Wooten is absent, and Director Scobie is here.
Our next item of business is approval of the agenda, and I do have one correction to make. It says that I have a planned absence, but here I am. So that's just left over. Yeah.
That's an obvious one.
Yes. So I would like to make that.
Sorry.
I'd like to make that correction to the agenda. Other members, do you have any other?
No.
Comments? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Sure. I'll move to approve the agenda with that correction.
And a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second, and do we need to do the poll roll call?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's 3-0. Agenda's approved with correction. All right, approval of conformed agenda. Committee members, any comments, corrections? If none, do we have a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the conformed agenda.
I second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's 3 in favor. The conformed agenda is approved, 3-0. Moving on to open forum. We have an absolutely packed room today of ghosts. There's nobody here. So, well, no members of the public here. You guys are all somebody. So we don't have a open forum today. Moving on to department matters, item 6, appeal on 3807 Archwood Road. Are we expecting them to come tonight?
The appellants were notified that this would come through the agenda this week. I did notify them and let them know where the issue stands and what our recommendation would be.
Okay.
And I told them, regardless of if they attended or not, we would still run the item.
Okay, so with that, we'll just go ahead and turn that over to staff and get our update and information.
Okay, so the appeal is for 3807 Archwood Road in Cameron Park, California. This was for exterior house paint, and the violation that was sent to the homeowner was for not getting architectural approval. Okay, the house was already painted. I got calls of complaints about the house color. But the violation that I could find was not filing for architectural approval, not applying for it. So sent them that violation notice. They went ahead and took care of their application, ran it through ARC. ARC denied the application because of the color of the house.
What color is it?
And because of the complaints.
We'll show you.
So, so they denied it and we sent them a denial letter. And you can go ahead and pass these around. This is the body color. This is the trim color. This is the house. Okay? If you want to pass that around and take a look at it. So, this was the letter sent to them, letting them know what our staff decision would be. And that is, or not staff decision, but staff recommendation. Now, they appealed it based on clause number 11, where there's a typo in that CCNR that basically says that the CCNRs, and I'll read it for you right here, conditions and restrictions shall run with the land and shall be binding on all parties and all persons claiming under them until June 1st, 2010, at which time they shall be automatically extended for a successive period of 5 years. Okay? Not a successive period of 5 years. Successive period of 5 years. What that means is, and we find back in Cameron Park North number 1, that it was a misspelling. It's supposed to be periods. If it had an A in front of it, it would be one successive period.
Mm-hmm.
it's been found in legal that this is a typo. I even found in the old hard copies of one that the developer tried to correct that at one point. Mm-hmm. But because it was homeowners and needed the community to amend, it never got done. So this is a template for Cameron Park number 2, Cameron Park number 3. Cameron Park number 2 has that same wording as number 1. Okay, mm-hmm. So the CC&Rs are in effect, and that letter states to them, we have found that the CC&Rs are in effect. However, the ARC denied the color because of the complaints. And they do have a standing for appeal under the fact that the CC&Rs, one, do not have a color palette. They don't dictate if they have to be earth tones or anything like that. There's no clause in there that talks about harmony or aesthetics in the neighborhood. And there's not a nuisance clause. So none of those, there's no clauses within that CC&Rs that gives the Architectural Review Committee any right to request conformity. All they can really do is request. Would you mind considering picking another color? Mm-hmm. Basically, the answer was no. Okay? Based on the CC&Rs, I do not see any grounds in the CC&Rs that allow us to pursue this any further. So the recommendation is, it's done here.
Yeah.
Only because we don't have any enforcement powers over
yet.
Yeah, any comments, questions from the committee?
So how did the architectural committee deny it? They knew about all this, right?
It came in with complaints.
Okay.
So the CC&R committee, or the CC&R department, ARC, is underneath it. So we run both offices with this department. Okay. So the only violation I could send out was not getting architectural approval.
I see. Okay.
Then it came through ARC. All diligence has been done by the homeowners up through there. And now, just because of process and procedure, now it comes before you all so that it can have its closure here.
Okay.
And so go over that one more time in the wording of period and periods, since it says successive.
It should have said successive periods.
Right.
Instead of successive period. And so this came up 3 years ago, probably, where there was a lot of chatter on social media about how CC&Rs actually were null and void. Mm-hmm. And so we actually have an opinion from our attorney that says, no, they run with the land, and we would go to court to say, yes, they are in a force in effect. And
so you're attaching the word period with the running with the land mm-hmm. as being continuing.
Yeah.
And the word successive meaning repeating.
Right, right.
And since there's no A before the word successive, it's now plural.
Got it. Yeah. I didn't follow you before, but when it says running with the land, I mean,
yeah.
And when it comes to CC&Rs, we have to follow these to the letter.
Right.
Or period.
There is discrepancies in some of these CC&Rs, and we have to get through the weeds to find the black and white. And we have that letter from legal that shows not only the reason why it's continuing, but also the court cases that have addressed this same issue.
And to Bob's question, you know, the ARC committee could have denied or could have approved the house color, but I think that it was just such a horrible color that the Architecture Review Committee was like, no, that they got to paint something that's more similar.
Right.
So that's why they denied the house color,
right.
Though they didn't have a basis for
yes,
that.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't have a basis, why deny
yeah,
it?
Yeah, why did they do it? And we could have stopped it at ARC, but then I think the property owner would have said, well, then why did you even send me to get an application if they were going to deny it anyway?
True. So, right. Go through at least
yeah,
the process.
It has to go through the process.
Okay.
And they did notify ARC that they denied it, or they decided, no, we're going to leave the color,
mm-hmm.
And educated them on as to why.
Mm-hmm.
They fully understand. And they realize that opinions do come into this occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a matter in a case like this where house paint is not specified in the CC&R. Now it comes down to opinion, and if it's opinion by a committee, the only thing I can do is ask. If I'm turned down, I can't pursue it any further.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No.
No.
I have one.
Sure.
So you said complaints, plural.
Yes, there was a couple of complaints.
So are they like immediate neighbors? Are they driving down the street? Are they the same person
neighbors.
Doing multiple?
So what's happening right now because of the color is if they open up their blinds, their house turns blue on the inside.
And then is that on both sides?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I can't say for sure if it was behind them, across from them, or on the sides, but I know they're immediate neighbors. Because they both mentioned the same thing. I open up my blinds and my house turns
blue. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, okay. I restained my deck, and for 2 years, opening up the windows, I got orange walls.
Yep.
It happens.
Yeah, it does. Unless you're a designer, you don't know, you don't think of those reflections.
Yeah, and we're gonna start seeing more diverse colors, as you're already starting to see. You know, black houses with white trim, white houses with black trim. But that's the new era, and that's what the paint companies are also pushing, is these new vibrant, bright colors. We can ask, if they come through architectural review ahead of time, we have a little bit of leeway in advising. But in this case, it's just a three-page CC&R, and that's not one.
So how are we dealing with the people who complain, the neighbors that are having this wonderful new hue?
Well, if they call back in or decide to review our agendas, okay. They'll see the information. And when they call back in, I'll let them know. Unfortunately, we do not have a color palette. And if they want to make a change, that's their duty to amend.
You know, I think that oftentimes when people call to say, well, how come you're not pursuing this, you know, it's about talking about process. And so our process is to go through the courts and ask a judge to compel somebody to change something. Okay, we're compelling, you know, the judge in this case would be compelling this person to change their house color, but there's no basis for them
right, exactly.
to do that. And it's a lot of cost on our part, so.
Yeah. Well, so they're saying that it's like 2010, it ended in 2015, 5 more years, and after that it doesn't mm-hmm. apply?
Yeah.
Is that the position?
Yeah, that's okay. The position, so.
Yeah. Did you get an opportunity to invite the complainants to this
yes.
meeting?
Both via email and by written letter.
Oh, good. Thank
yeah.
you.
That was my follow-up. Thank you.
Yeah. That's
really
the,
important.
That's the letter that I handed right there was the notification.
Okay,
that
good.
They were gonna be
all right, and they're not here. Well, I actually like the color.
Just the other to one down on the other side was is very close.
It's
to
very
one.
Close.
Yeah, I know you didn't like that
and
one.
And I didn't like that one, but I like this one, so whatever, you know. I just feel like I'm in Mexico. You know, they have a lot of bright, vibrant colors, and I'm really anxious to go
yeah.
travel, so.
And what Jim is saying, soon you're going to see, like, Miami kind of a flavor everywhere.
There you go.
And so, you know, given that there is no basis, and this is another reason why I want to put on our work plan, clean up these CC&Rs so we don't have people saying they're not in effect. I think that is, I don't like that, but that's for later down the road. So does the committee have, let's see, what is our,
your,
it just says address the appeal.
Yeah.
So should we make
staff?
A motion?
Staff's recommendation that is that all diligence on our part has been completed. We can no longer go any further.
Okay, so approve the appeal?
Approve staff's recommendation to
not pursue the appeal.
Okay, there's our motion. Does anyone want to make that?
Sure, I'll make it. I move to accept and adopt the staff's recommendation of not pursuing the appeal as to the color of the house.
And I second.
Okay, we have first and a second, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's 3-0, accepting staff's recommendation. All right, moving on to item 7, review, discuss, and approve updated CC&R handbook. Do you guys want to start off with this? A little intro? Did our members get a chance to look it over?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any comments, suggestions, corrections?
I'm going to give them kind of our thoughts.
We have, in the packet you see one that's completely redlined, so it's our redaction or our tracket changes. And then you have one that's basically the changes with all the trackets taken out to show you what the complete document will look like. So Bill and I once again reviewed this morning just to make sure we had our ducks in a row. And to put this plainly, this handbook was put together when we did not have an ARC handbook in place. So this handbook kind of has both CCNRs and ARC incorporated into it. It also has a lot of direction as to how staff is going to deal with something, how our procedures happen over here on the daily matter. A good example is notifying some people's residents or homeowners about a violation that's going into pre-legal or something had to be done by certified mail in the past. Now we're like, no, we can accomplish this by first class mail with tracking. So that's how we do it now. So that's a little example of some of these changes we've made in order to mainly show the CCNR committee, here's your handbook, these are your duties. ARC, here's your handbook, these are your duties. Staff stuff, we've taken out. So that's kind of the short version.
Okay.
What do you think, Jill?
Yeah, and I think it's important that we outline our CCNR protocols and our processes because we are dealing with private property rights, and so it's good to have, you know, some framework that we operate within. But the previous handbook was so detailed that it didn't provide us with any flexibility. Mm-hmm. So.
It was, if I'm not mistaken, this last handbook was written by one of our committee members. And that also had a difference in how a committee member is appointed. Now it's appointed by the president, not by the committee.
But we would love feedback, you know, from you, you know, as far as the handbook, and it doesn't provide enough information and make sense and all of that kind of stuff.
Like before, you only had to report to the board, and now it's cross out the board and CCNR committees, right?
Like that's the process that we just did today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Curious, at the beginning when you have the authority, it shows that you have a code, and then you say that the residents of Cameron Park voted to extend that authority. But when they voted to extend that authority, was that forevermore or for a certain period of time, or what was the...
So the forevermore. Okay. So when the Cameron Park residents decided that they wanted the district to enforce CCNRs, they voted that in along with the property tax allocation, or no, the tax assessment of $12.
Would there be any value in actually adding that voter, you know, information blurb to the packet to mm-hmm. support that authority?
Right.
Because we have that in our like our board packet manual when we become a board member and you give us this giant stat to
mm-hmm.
read.
Mm-hmm.
It goes into that. That might be of use. That's a good comment.
I think that's a very good comment because
it gives the reference.
Not only that, it leads one to say, well, the residents voted for this to extend the authority, but for what period of time and how was this done? And I think that that would then clear that up completely
mm-hmm.
without leaving that a little bit loose.
Put it in the appendix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can actually have it as an attachment, or if it's short enough, we can put it
in
the italics.
Either way,
yeah.
That sounds
okay.
great. Great
or just
idea.
Some
guys.
Kind of an excerpt from it that gives it that.
It should be pretty darn short.
Yeah.
It's usually a paragraph.
There are very few districts that do this. There is our district, El Dorado Hills, Mountain House. There's maybe five, and it's spelled out in the legislation which districts they're giving authority to.
Okay.
And I have to apologize, everybody, but we've lost internet access for some reason.
We all have paper copies.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
I can no longer use the screen. I can't get it.
It might come back, too.
And we've been losing it in the evenings for some reason.
Time to go home?
No, we can still accomplish it.
Okay, more comments from the committee.
That was the only thing that I had at this time.
Well, I have some.
Okay.
Okay, first question. On the, do you have your paper copy? Good. It's on the table of contents where you took out the attachments of initial notice, final notice, pre-legal notice, and that's just to give the district flexibility or the committee flexibility to rewrite those. We
right.
don't really want to put those
right.
in there. Okay.
We could attach them with, you know, and stamp them sample, but we didn't want the committee to have to approve a letter.
If the concept of this is to hand to our new committee members saying, thank you so much, here's some direction, then that would be useful.
Okay.
Some sample idea so that they, I mean, it just helps clarify the process if you're new to the committee.
Okay.
Wouldn't that keep us from being able to edit a letter?
Well, it would be sample, example.
It would be a sample letter versus a specific, they're not approving the letter that is attached.
Yeah.
It's an example.
Yeah, so if you could make that terminology clear, I think it would be, for the recipients of this, it would help them see this process a little more clearly.
Very true.
Of course, I do want to give you the flexibility to change that over time, so we don't have to keep coming through.
Yeah, so we can mark them sample.
Yeah. Okay, here we go, page one. District is misspelled up there in the title. All the other ones are correct, just that one. Okay, under item B, funding. It says, in addition, the district will continue its efforts to seek fining authority through approved legislature of the Davis-Sterling Act. First of all, I didn't know that. I know that was for, I guess, the HOAs and therefore CCNRs. But we don't do fining, do we?
We're discussing it.
We are? Okay.
Yeah. There is one fine. It's for the ARC, and that is if you don't get ARC, your fees
go. That's true. Okay.
There's also, we have discussed the potential of once we get to pre-legal and stuff, to instituting basically like a service fee type of fine.
Yeah.
Again, this is way down the road.
Okay.
So I think we're kind of jumping ahead. But
okay.
It's something I have to work with.
Okay, that's fine. I was just curious. I saw that, and I'm like, I didn't know we did that.
Well, and we don't. It's certainly, and I know that we've talked about that for our compliance for our fire ordinance, you know, as well. And I'm not that familiar with the Davis-Sterling Act, to be really honest.
There are CCNRs that do give us the right to fine. There's others that do not.
Okay. All right, I am now on item B, article 2, item B. It says, monthly reports to CCNR committee. It says the report will contain all escalating cases, i.e. initial notices, final notices, pre-legal, legal, refer to legal, and variances. So a couple of questions on this. First of all, I think it's a little unclear because it looks like you're going to give us a pile of all of these things, and I don't think that's your intent.
So this is the case management report.
Okay, then maybe
this is
that
what
could be
we
more.
Give you guys each month.
Mm-hmm.
And I do
I don't
not
see that
you,
in the packet.
Oh yeah, you've seen it.
I have seen it, but I don't see it in this packet.
It's in it.
Oh, I didn't scroll down all the way then. All right.
It's, I think it's on the
it's
very end.
It must be in the very end. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Right back here.
So
good.
We do not give you verbal warnings.
That's fine.
We don't want to make it cumbersome.
Okay, good. So, understood that. And the second question is, you have listed all of your statuses, initial notice, final notice, pre-legal, those. Do you actually want to list those? Do we need to, I guess my question is, because we've laid out this process, we need to indicate who's in which status, or do we want the flexibility to change those statuses, remove one, not use one, or whatever, so therefore not lay it out here?
I think it's important to lay it out because what I have told complainants that if they keep an eye on these reports that are contained in these committee meetings, they can actually see where their
complaint is
in the process.
Okay, good.
Plus, I think the heading is reports, so you're showing all the different report monthly reports, so I think that it should include all of these.
I don't understand your comment.
Well, I thought that you were, my understanding, but I heard you to say that we should not have to include all of these, correct?
No, my question was, should we?
Right, okay. And I'm thinking we should because of what Jill was saying.
Yes.
Also, I think maybe I'm wrong here, but it says monthly reports, and so I think that this kind of ties into what was being suggested in the kinds of reports that are being provided monthly. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
And you, we can call it out, case management report.
I think that would be more clear.
Maybe if you just call it out as a CCNR compliance officer shall be responsible for preparation of a monthly case management
report. I like that.
Instead of preparation of just a monthly report, preparation of a case management
report. Yes,
management
I like that.
Report.
Okay, and then now.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm on Article 3.
Case management.
Item 1, A. There's a typo of verity. Is that actual? Is that a typo?
The CCNR evaluated property owners through a variety.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Hard to see all of the
it is.
Typos when you're working in track changes.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So thank you for calling those out.
Well, there's only like three, and mm-hmm. so I would normally just send them to you, but since there's so few, I just would go through.
This is great. You're definitely our spelling checker.
Nobody in a million years have ever said that to me because I can't spell. Final notice to owners. Item B. I've noticed you've made a effort to remove the word resident and just use property owner, mm-hmm. which I think is good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you missed one in that first sentence. In the event
that... Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is, in there it says, to contact the CCNR officer and comply to the violation, the CCNR officer may grant a longer time depending on the situation. And I'm concerned about that because that can be considered a bias, that you granted them a longer time and you didn't grant us a longer time. And so my concern is how do we make it so that, and I know you said depending on the situation, I just don't want anybody to say that we're playing favorites. How do we protect the district so that it's more, so that we don't do that?
Well, we do need to have that flexibility.
I agree.
Got a couple good examples.
I agree with the flexibility. I'm wondering, okay. Is there any way we can tighten up that language so that we protect ourselves about not being perceived?
Taken advantage of?
Taken advantage of not being, you know, more lenient with this one and more tight with this one, and that's my concern. I totally agree with what you're trying to say. I'm just concerned about, you know, those people who will.
I think
okay,
that.
So
I would remove that language completely. This way, there is no reference to that.
You know, and you got a good point. I mean, we still have that ability to fluctuate or be flexible, but not necessarily put it in writing and tell the public.
Right, and if you put it in writing, it's going to draw attention to this.
You got a good point. What do you think, Joe?
I'm good with omitting it. I mean, I think that you could omit it. I don't know that you can totally protect the district. I mean, from that. But I think that both Kate prior to Jim and Jim, you know, was always really good about following up. Are you making progress? What's your timeline? And all of those things. So we have not gotten a complaint thus far.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely get better results working with them.
Yes, and being
than just trying to shuttle it down.
I agree. I like your idea of removing it.
We'll take that out.
I think, yeah. And then I just noticed another resident up there in item B, first, second line. So you might just want to do a global search for the word resident.
Okay.
Well, what happens when you have, and we're having quite a few of these things coming up, is that you have quite a few renters,
mm-hmm.
and do you not notify the renter who's the resident, or how does that work?
The policy is to actually notify the owners.
Right.
Now, if I just had one Friday, got a complaint about a trailer out, have gotten complaints on this trailer a couple times, but I never caught it out. I got the call and I had the time to run out. Trailer was out there. I also looked up in GIS to see if it's a renter or not before I went out. So I found out it was a renter. The gentleman was there. I got to speak with him. If they're there, I'm happy to talk to them. I have had situations where I've talked to the renter and they've blown up in my face.
Right.
And that's when I say, well, can I ask you if you're renting or owning? Well, I'm a renter. Well, then I'm sorry to bother you with it. I'm supposed to talk to your property owner. Boom, it changes the temperature real quick. And oftentimes they'll work to comply. But that's usually when next door blows up on me and stuff like that. But the point being is, I'll check. If they're there, I'll discuss it with them. But the violation notice will not go to the renter.
Right.
Unless, and I've had this case, where the owner has asked me to copy the renter. That was under an eviction notice procedure. They're trying to evict them and they want them to know that there's heat coming from all sides. That's about the only time that I'll send the letter to them. I've had renters come down here and get mad at me for sending their landlords home. I said, that's what I have to do. A gentleman on your street, Patricia, has come down and asked me to talk directly with him. Mm-hmm. And I will. But if I don't get results, I'll go straight back to the landlord without even notifying. It's just, if I can't get compliance with you, I have to go to the landlord.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that.
But otherwise, that's the only time I talk to the renters is when I do see them at the time of inspecting the violation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, my next item, I'm on Article 5, CC&R Office Descriptions. I read that office descriptions, I'm like, we're going to talk about Jim? He's our CC&R officer.
Where are you? I'm sorry.
I'm on Article 5.
Okay, so I'm skipping forward.
And so I think now that I read it, I think it's meaning committee, officers of the committee is what you're trying to say. Or what's trying to be described, not you personally, but what this is trying to say.
I know we're in Article 5. Which one are you on?
Just the title.
CC&R Office.
CC&R Office Descriptions.
CC&R.
And so I'm just saying, I think that's unclear. And what you're trying to say is the committee officers. Officers of the committee, something like that.
How about roles of the CC&R committee and staff?
Sure. I just, that threw me off and I had to keep reading before I could even understand this title, which is not good. The title should tell you what it should
you're
be
right.
clear.
Yeah. Roles of, I have roles of CC&R committee and staff and striking office descriptions.
Well, I think you guys can fix it. I have confidence.
Or even just CC&R committee office description, committee officer.
Even officer. Well, you're the CC&R officer.
I hear what you're saying.
I didn't understand that.
We can work on that.
Okay. And then, of course, the title under Article 5. It's procedure and the title offices and description of each office. I also find
officers.
I leave in your hands to make more clear.
Committee officers.
Also on that page, I just wanted to understand why you struck the attendee requirements, the relationship to board of directors, and the procedures for amending policy. Under role of district staff. It's not under role of district staff. Oh. They're just under the paragraph. I'm just curious why you...
Attendance requirements. I think that attendance requirements are cited somewhere else in policy.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're up in the committee requirements? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And then, committee members, okay.
And then relationship to the district board of directors.
Is probably also in that same policy?
It's in the same policy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that what we try to do is not repeat
policy,
because if you change policy, then you got to go figure out all the other things where you explain the policy. Yeah.
Again, given that this is a handout to our new committee members, is this information that should be readily and easily available to them and therefore be repeated here?
So what we can do is we can...
Because it is, I see your meaning's redundant, but...
We can
reference the policy.
Right, and so what we can do is we can attach the policy, to this.
That's a lot.
Then you have to update it every time.
Right, so.
Well, I think like you said, just reference it. And if anybody's in doubt or has any questions,
they can look it up.
Yeah.
Is that 3060?
3060, yeah.
And I'm fine.
3060 or 4060?
Are you ready? We'll have to double check the number.
I'm sorry.
And the only reason why, again, if I put myself in the shoes of a new committee member coming in, that's important information. If I miss three successive meetings, I might get dismissed. That's something I want to know.
Yeah, so Patricia, we did develop committee introductory binders for everyone. And so everybody got an introductory binder, same as the board. It was very much like the board binder,
okay,
but not fully. So, like the board binder. So, there is committee member orientation, and so hopefully, you know.
Well, then it doesn't need to be here.
Right, right.
If you're providing that, if, as long as this information is somehow being provided,
right,
then I think it's fine to remove it here. It's
yeah.
Just, it's very important.
And if it's empty, if it's, you know, we can always, and it's always, it's available on our website, and we can always provide it too.
Right,
and that pertains just to the board members themselves,
yeah,
where
mm-hmm,
that really is not necessary here, because
mm-hmm,
you're just talking about procedures in general.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I think if you're on the CC&R committee, you need to know three consecutive,
right,
and then that you are advisory.
I don't know.
And so
I think that there is policy regarding board member attendance. There is a policy for board member attendance. There's not a policy for committee member attendance. So, you know, we could call it out. I would say that if we were having a difficulty
mm-hmm
with a committee member's attendance, we would probably pursue it using the board member attendance policy.
I still think it's a good policy.
Yeah, and funny enough, I had a committee member called me and asked if they could be excused for a committee. And I said, we haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. We'd love to see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she said, oh, yeah, that three consecutive thing. So she knew about it. So somehow she was informed and read her documents.
That's great news.
Yeah,
yeah.
And she says, I said, hey, even if you can come in and show your face and have to leave her, we'd love to see it. She says,
yeah,
okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
And they're very, very, you all are valuable.
I think
to
that
our so
we're doing enough now to make community members feel important, even though we don't have an audience here.
Yeah.
I think that we are doing
yeah
enough to educate and to value our community members on these different committees. And so
I think that you could strike the bottom two, the advisory and the procedures, but I still think the attendance requirements, is that the requirement that we want to have for our CC&R committee? Do we want to have that requirement here for our committee members?
I actually have you use it, so I would say yes.
Okay.
I mean, granted, under the circumstances. I mean, it's kind of like extending time on a violation. You know,
yeah, sure.
I mean, somebody like Patricia has occasionally had to go out of state and take care of family. That's a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not full on negligence. Oh, I didn't set my alarm
yeah
clock or something like that.
I want to make sure that we avoid the situation where we have unfortunately, a belligerent or uncooperative board member,
mm-hmm,
committee member who we cannot get to leave because we don't have something simple like that saying, well, you've missed three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at least we have something.
Okay.
So what do you guys think?
I agree. I think it's no harm. It's just.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do if they have some legitimate need to take leave of absence from their committee work, health-wise or surgery?
It says without good cause.
Without good cause. Okay. So as long as they have good cause,
mm-hmm, sure,
they're covered.
Yeah, we
want to
be
okay
flexible. So they need four consecutive meetings and
right,
they'll be
right
back. That's fine, you know.
Right. Okay.
I think it also
yeah
depends on the term. I mean, these are annual appointments.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of times it's just a conversation with that community member to say,
right,
you know.
This
yeah,
is
and oftentimes, you know, if you've taken on this challenge of being on these committees, mm-hmm, having a discussion with them, if it's become a little bit too cumbersome from them, I'd have them say, right now it's just not working out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do what I can to find an alternate. Please come and visit us again if you want to jump on the committee. And we've had that happen.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see if I got anything else. I think we're approaching the end of my comments. Okay. So I am now. item, Article 6. And I had a question. It says procedure, architectural review / CC&R process. Do we want still to have architectural review in there?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you for looking at the titles. We were not looking at
them. I wasn't. Nope. I was reading the titles and then editing the body.
Well, when I was a board member, when I first came in, I was handed the old packet, the disastrous packet with the architectural and the CC&R, and they're all like spaghetti together, and I totally did not understand it. And sometimes I would go back and read the titles to see what's happening. Okay, now I'm under amendment to existing CC&Rs, item E. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's struck out, but that's okay. It says, the district, however, may respond to inquiries and offer suggestions concerning proposed amendments when such input or comment is requested by the proponents of the amendment. And I, since I've been saying I would like the district to take some sort of leadership role in helping to make our CC&Rs more, you're sitting there nodding your head. No.
Well, we can offer services.
What I'm saying is that I would like to be able to. I'm not saying we're going to make you, Jim.
Well,
but this is saying we can't.
Because it's owned by the homeowners. It's not owned by us. They own the CC&Rs. Any amendments can only be done by the residents of that CC&R.
But it's saying that only the proposed amendments must come from the proponents. So if the district was the proponent of the amendment, would that still fall under here?
No. It's the homeowners. We manage the CC&Rs and help enforce them, but we don't write them. Well, we were contracted to write them, but it has to be approved by the county. And then any changes to the CC&R must come from the addressees of that CC&R district.
It's not within our authority.
And we can't even, it's kind of like trying to get something on a ballot. We can't even go out there and propose it or nudge it along. It has to be brought to the table by the community.
So my glorious idea of trying to consolidate and make things easier, you just said is
I think
possible.
That the district, I think that there's a distinction between staff and community members. I mean, I think that...
So that's what that's saying, is staff can't do it?
The CC, it's not within our authority. It's not within our authority to do that. And our authority is to seek compliance and to ensure compliance with CC&Rs. The CC&Rs is the responsibility of all the residents. Now, if the district wanted to initiate a change in CC&Rs to make them simpler, you could have a community group, you know, that is supported by staff, but it has to be driven by the community and the residents.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now,
so I can still see if there is a way, but it would be like I could start with my own CC&Rs where I live, mm-hmm. and say, I think we should change these, and they're a template of these, so I'm going to go talk to other people in my CC&Rs and theirs, and we're all going to have a big powwow and a barbecue, and we're going to say, do we want to make any changes? Mm-hmm. So that would be acceptable.
As a resident.
Mm-hmm. As a resident,
yes.
I could.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you could.
And also to reinforce your idea, we discussed this with you and committee as well as in staff. Your request is not unheard. What we're going to be going towards is trying to put guidelines out there that would, for stuff like fences, okay, they're universal in every CC&R. So we'll put a guideline out there that gives everybody, mm-hmm. here's the bullet point on hauling.
Yeah.
Chickens, certain things that are consistent with the CC&Rs, we're gonna work on putting together guidelines. So you don't have to read the legal court part of it. You can read the layman's term and know what you can and cannot do.
Okay.
And it'll be uniform for everything. So that's what I'm working towards. Because I hear what you're saying. It's not easy managing 86 different CC&Rs. But if I had a few of these points that were under a guideline, I could just hand everybody the same packet.
Good.
And say you're all being treated the same way. So I think we'll get a lot further quicker doing guidelines.
The district can do guidelines.
Yes,
that's
we can.
That's staff authority, because we're making an interpretation of those CCNRs.
I understand. Yeah. But, you know, Bob or Patricia want to go change their CCNRs.
Yes.
Okay, those were all of my comments.
Just a question. Would it be a little bit smoother in language that you take that it shall be the responsibility, that last sentence there, and put it up right after legal requirements, if any, showing that that's the responsibility of the owners or the property owners?
Yeah.
And then you talk about how you can make the suggestions. The other, you have the language of pass by the necessary percentage of property.
Mm-hmm.
Is that as described in?
As described in the CCNR.
I don't think we have that language in there.
It's different in every CCNR. Some one CCNR may even say 51%.
Right, but it does, you just say pass by the necessary percentage of property.
As described in each CCNR.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that part.
Well, no, I have. We can add that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
she's
saying.
I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can add that.
And then also committee, on our website is this right here, Guide to Amending CCNRs.
Oh, nice.
And this gives the step-by-step to any community member if they want to.
There you go, guys.
Yes. I'm going to jump right on that project.
You get right in there.
Yeah, in fact, that would be really good. I've had a couple of people that talked to me about how our CCNRs need to be changed and how to go about it. This was really, I can add that part out. I can add that out.
Yeah.
Go around the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get that motivated person. And we have had a very motivated member come to our committee, and they actually successfully changed their CCRs.
Nice.
And to allow chickens.
Oh.
And now they have chickens in their CCRs.
What's interesting about that, though, is you're allowed to set up to 7 hens, no rooster, and no hen house.
Per county.
That's in the CCNR. That was the amendment.
Oh, that was the amendment.
No hen house.
There it is.
So what would be the parameters when you start to change and you decide, well, we're going to have houses painted black and green? I mean, are there going to be other parameters there that kind of are somewhat restricting residents?
These things will come through the CCNR committee.
Uh-huh.
If someone wants to amend, it comes through the CCNR committee. And that's the opportunity for the CCNR committee to kind of look at the outer edges and see what the problems could be from this change.
Mm-hmm.
And helping them understand that. So, for example, on that chicken one, it is still an Eldorado County code that you cannot have them in the suburban area. And in order to satisfy maybe the county code, I wasn't here then, but the facility of having chickens, a hen house, must be inspected by the county and certified.
So that's why there's probably no hen house.
That's probably why there's no hen house
in there.
So that's where the committee is able to say, okay, in this instance, when it comes to chickens, I think they probably also had to talk to the county about it and find out what the requirements were.
She seemed very thorough, you know, in chasing down all her neighbors and getting all the votes.
And we have we may have one of those coming up again here soon.
Interesting. And then we can have them fix. As a committee member, I could say, did you know that you have a missing S on your word time periods?
Yes.
You may want to address that.
There have been amendments to CCNRs that are difficult to enforce. And so when somebody comes through to say that they want to amend their CCNRs, we always encourage them to run the language by us.
Mm-hmm.
And even we will take it to our attorney. You know, we'll charge them for our time. But then it makes it enforceable, whereas some of them have been. Or if we see any pitfalls in there, what they're trying to do.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they do? They just go ahead and make up their own language in the back of a toilet paper and get all the neighbors to sign and get the...
They could.
See that document?
Yeah.
That making CCNRs might answer some of your
questions? Yeah, I think that their airport has, the airport district has some interesting changes to this to see in our staff.
Yeah, and so it is up to the community to not only work on a properly written amendment, but to get all the signatures, and it's also their responsibility to go up and get it recorded. Mm-hmm. So the community is responsible for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
If we had to take that on, we would definitely have to hire another person.
The liability there, the risks.
Here's an example of the amendment that was written for that. This is
chickens?
Amendment 3. Now, this is for the one that Jill just brought up at airport.
Oh, at airport, okay.
So this amendment, one of the amendments was to allow 50% blockage of trailers.
Okay.
As opposed to putting it behind the fence line, which now, Jill brought that up. Somehow this made it through without taking a look at how we're going to enforce this. Now I'm having a heck of a time enforcing toys out in people's yards because they park it up against their house.
It's concealed 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, that's right,
50%. And one of the biggest complaints out there is people with trailers, but sorry, you amended it and I can't enforce it anymore.
So if we just reviewed this, if there's no other comments from the committee, is this something that you would like to see come back through committee and look at it again, or you feel like this is something, what does staff think? Should we move this to the board?
I'd like to bring it back as a clean version, if that's okay with all of you.
That's fine.
Yeah.
With the edits that you recommended, you didn't have a lot of them, and I appreciate that, and hopefully we did a good job.
Good job.
Yeah.
I mean, it just means hopefully we did a good job.
You did!
I appreciate your diligence and even catching spelling errors.
Yeah.
I can't. You read it and I see it.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to read
it. We're going to add some more language about the temporary variances for hardship. So that was a pretty brief little section in there. But this previous committee approved a fairly significant process for that. And so we will include that full.
And that's the amendment process and procedures that were approved in 2019.
I think Bob was here for that and Monique was here, but I think that Patricia was not. So it'd be good for Patricia to take that.
So what I'll do is I'll put in here the bullet points, the time periods, the fees, just really just an outline version of that. We'll drop in here.
Okay, so the handbook's going to come back, right? A nice clean version?
A clean version.
Okay. All right. So moving on to item 8, monthly staff report. And I believe that's you, Jim.
Okay. So on our monthly staff report, not a lot of changes from last month. I apologize for that. It was a busy month. So referred to legal, we have two. One is an old one in Air Park Estates, and I need to go back to legal because it was not within my time. I need to understand where it lies. The other one is on Archwood that we've discussed a couple of times.
This is the fence one. The people that want to put the fence at 20 feet instead of 30 feet and not close construction. And
it does look quite messy out there.
Yeah.
It's we're working on it. So we have two in legal. We have no pre-legal notices out right now. Four final notices, 19 initial notices, and then the one variance, which we're going to review again after the apple season, right? Next year.
Next month. Yeah, I think that we're going to try next month. The gentleman that had his commercial vehicle for his farm parked
on the street.
So we're going to bring that back in December because it requires an annual review.
Makes sense.
We had 6 new cases and 4 cleared cases with a total cases of 79. And then architectural review, we had 19 cases are reviewed, 18 approved, 1 denied. We just reviewed the denial. So this, I'm hoping, you're going to start seeing a lot of changes in this portion right here, as well as this guy here. And we're going to have a little bit more help here in the field, so that's going to help us.
Why don't you tell a little bit about your new staff person?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I was kind of saving it for staff update. But
oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't know if I'm allowed to. That's
Well, I actually, before you go into that, I had a question on the monthly staff report. When I scroll down and I look at the case report, some of them have what the case is regarding, inappropriate stored materials, vehicle parking, and some of them don't.
Right.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Special provisions.
Or like section 11.
Viewpoint section 11. Yeah, okay. I guess those are tantalizingly wanting me to ask a question, but I don't feel like you need to go into those, you know, each one now. Is there a way to provide a little more information regarding them on the next report?
I can review all these before I print it out. The our program is what generates this report.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah.
I just go to
CCNR manager and I click the date that I did, and I say submit. And then I fine tune it and make it so it fits into a page for you to read. But I can go through, like, for example, on that viewpoint, and I can look it up really quick and put on there what it was for.
It may be a part of when the case was opened, the description that was initially put
entered in there,
and if it's an old case, you know.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that is not on this report is dates.
So, for example, viewpoint section 11 is an RV parked on the street.
Okay.
Improper storage of recreational vehicle.
Okay.
Which is a lot of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the thing that I came in trying to tackle, and it's the thing I'm still working
on. Now, what's special provisions? Now that you've pulled everything up, Creekside Estates, unit numbers 2 and 3, section 2, special provisions, K, open.
Right.
And again, Creekside you can just States. Come back with that. You don't have to do that now. My other question on this is dates. So you have a status, but you don't have, have no idea of telling how old. We know what status it is, but we don't know, like, you've been working on this thing for like 18 months.
And
some of them, I'm sure they are.
Yep, and if you look on the case number, CCR 20 is 2020.
Oh my gosh!
CCR 19 is 2019.
Thank you, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'll work for me.
Yeah, and I look at those and go, gosh, I just got to figure out what's going on with this one. But that is that.
It's at least a year.
That is that refer to legal that I need to go back and talk to legal about what's happening here.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll work on these violations, the description of the violations.
That'd be useful.
I agree with you. I thought that.
And it would be kind of nice to have some sort of, well, you told me the date, but now I want the month, but I'll get over it. I'll go with just that for now.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments, folks, on these?
No.
Okay.
I'm curious, is that when you say it's been there for a year or whatever, is there any reason we would want to know why it's taken so long waiting for a response or anything like that? Or is that not necessary in this kind of report?
It is. I think that a lot of it is workload and getting out there to, you know, make sure it's either dismissed or not or understanding it and stuff like that.
All
so
right.
I think that I think that Jim will always juggle working in the field and the office duties as well, and I think that when he gets into it and his staff report, we've got somebody that's going to be working a lot in the field, which is going to be good. And I know that Kate, previous CCNR, you know, struggled with that also.
Yes.
Especially because architecture review, you know, probably takes about half of the job, whereas probably a few years ago, it was not taking that much.
Right.
So, Jim, staff updates? Is that our segue?
Yeah.
Good news?
So, staff updates. Yes, we have procured a part-time assistant for CCMRs. Tim Reimer came in today to start working on his onboard paperwork. He will be starting next Monday, the 8th. And I've already talked to him about, but one of the first items of business is to go through all these old violations, verify them, determine if they're in compliance or still not in compliance, and just bring them all these case reports up to date, bring the program up to date. Because I got hired in COVID, and Kate, she put together these wonderful programs for us to use that even have milestone dates that we can put in there in order to keep us up to speed on a regular period checking on these violations. I've never been able to get my arms around it because I came into 50 some odd violations, mm-hmm. and touring the neighborhood as much as I could. It's very hard to, as a newcomer, to really determine, okay, what's the violation here? I understand much more now, but it's still a matter of time. And we need more presence there. The more violations are not, the more they see that car running around, the more warm and fuzzy the residents are going to feel, mm-hmm. knowing that their $12 per household is going to good use.
Per year.
And they're seeing that tourist run around checking homes. So, and on the other side, I think people that are more prominent to have their trailers out in the yard and these violations going, they'll see that car running back and forth, they'll start considering getting their project done and getting that thing tucked away. So Tim, I think, is going to be a great help. He does have HOA experience. He has been on boards and committees out in Menlo Park, and he worked with the HOA for 25 years, president of his HOA. So he understands CCNRs as well.
Does he live in this community?
He just moved up here a year ago.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
And as soon as he went through a couple of our processes, he really appreciated them and started introducing them to staff and saying, I'd love to be a part of this.
Nice.
So,
very nice.
We did, he interviewed great, and we've got him invited him on board.
And remind me how we're funding his position?
So, they're going to be, he's going to be 10 to 15 hours a week. And I had to do some balance juggling of the budget. One of the items is to try and get ARC up. All of our ARC applicants, get more of those in. Try to get our revenue up from ARC's applications, which last year I think we increased it a good $6,000 to $8,000. Mm-hmm. This year our goal is to increase it as much again, giving us 30,000 plus on the ARC side. On top of that, there was a little bit of cutting on the legal side, allocating some money over there. And then we also did some restructuring on some of staff in order to acquire, not acquire, but the budget still has that 17,000 in there now too.
So during COVID, mm-hmm. The CCNR office doesn't reimburse the district for the support of the receptionist and the front desk. So, but during COVID, when the district was really lacking revenues coming in, we made a one-time transfer from the CCNR office to the general fund for the district to help support the district. We could continue to do that, but it would kind of bankrupt the CCNR office. Mm-hmm. So we did, it was a one-time transfer. If we had not made that one-time transfer, the CCNR office would have balanced their budget, you know. So anyway, so it was a one-time transfer. So there is no plan at this point to staff to recommend that again. We really, that person is really funded by
ARC fees.
ARC fees and a reduction in legal fees. I mean, we're really not using, we have a much better handle on how much our attorney is spending. Before, he was kind of given kind of a blank check.
Carte blanche, yeah.
Yeah, and we don't do that anymore.
No, I request
a budget for everything that I'm doing. And if I see something trying to go a little bit awry, try to bring it back. Okay, it's not going the way we thought we would budget-wise. What do we need to do to get back here?
I mean, it's something that the, you know, the board, I'm sorry.
No, I said I like that very much.
Yeah. Well, we want to spend it on the front end,
yes,
trying to get compliance rather than on the back end, you know, going down the legal.
It's much more of a window that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I personally, as a board member, don't have, I mean, until we can up our fees in the CC&R department on our property tax bills, you know, the $12 a year, you know, I don't see how we cannot, at some point, the general fund have to fund CC&Rs.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're doing it by not reimbursing for expenses, mm-hmm, that's, I guess,
how we're doing it.
How
right
we're
now.
Doing it mm-hmm. now. And so, yeah, that's.
Even if I only have an assistant for a couple of years, mm-hmm, that's going to really help fine-tune this department to run the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm dealing with 2 to 3 year catch-up.
Yeah. Well,
and so does your report. Mm-hmm. Say yeah. the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm, you've got 5 cases of 5 times 12 is 60. 6 times 12, 72. Yeah, you've got to clear out 8 cases and deal with new ones
yeah.
every month.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is a lot of it too, is you know, phone calls and, you know, and
distractions.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
All right, you any other staff updates?
We're working on the annual committee appointments. I already have one letter of interest in. Jill, I think, knows of another person.
They were interested in CC&Rs.
And I know of another. So ARC, what we're trying to do is set up more like 3 alternates, because everybody on our ARC committee has daily jobs, most of them. And they're all extremely valuable because what they bring to the table really works for ARC. Mm-hmm. However, this meeting is once a week. We're getting the awareness up out there, and we have anywhere from 5 to 15 cases a week. So in order to ease the burden on the once a week coming in,
yeah,
we'd like to have 3 alternates, and we're considering maybe like every other week swapping them out.
Mm-hmm. But it's still having them overlap, so they're still working with all the people.
Yes.
Right? It's not like
right.
two
yeah,
separate
there's
committees
two separate
that they need
committees.
To
yeah.
interlace.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So, yeah, friends, neighbors, and Bob and Patricia, it is an annual appointment. So if you're interested in continuing, you know, let me know. After my conversation with Bob today, it was like I should probably send just an email out to everyone to say here are some opportunities to think about whether you return to CC&Rs. There is also a FireWise community certification that we're going to be going through, and we'll need community members to help with that. There's architecture review, which is once a week. Once it would be once every other week, so you know, we'll get some emails out to everybody.
I'd like to throw my head into the FireWise community as a community
member. That'd be awesome.
What does that mean?
So there's a certification process that is nationally recognized mm-hmm. for communities to go through that basically certifies that you're a FireWise community. It's education to residents about, you know, taking care of your waste. Don't stack your firewood next to your house. You know, all of those, you know, are you registered for Code Red? You know, it's all of those things. And so if you have this certification, this national certification, because you've accomplished the things on this task list, then it can help homeowners keep their insurance or receive a discount on their homeowners insurance.
Mm. And so what would it entail as far as a volunteer or a
I would, this is something member. That is going to be new in the community. We have a person who is currently chairing our ARC committees that is interested in maybe taking the lead on this. And so it will be a committee much like this, probably meets once a month. The certification process is geared to communities of about 4,000. Well, we have 18,000 there. So how do we take this certification process and tailor it to Cameron Park. And so it's going to be a lot of developing how we're going to implement it, what is the board going to do, what is the board's task going to do, how do we play this in Cameron Park, and then once you figure out all that out, then actually
executing it.
So it's I would say that it should be a very exciting process. Yes.
I'd like to throw my hat in the ring for that. That'd be exciting.
Reduction in homeowners insurance policy will be a good incentive for people to get involved.
And protecting it. I mean, there's so many people that have just been dropped, and I know that the state's, you know, program that they have is not palatable or cost effective for a lot of people.
Right. Not that to mention mitigate our risks of a horrible disaster.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We've already seen.
Yeah.
So I'll get an email out to you, and then I would encourage all of you to share that email with friends and neighbors and other residents in Cameron Park to say, you know, we have the district has any. I mean, I know that there's not a lot of people in the audience. Bob and I were talking about this earlier, but what I find is that the community is engaging with us in different ways, which is some of these, you know, community, you know, neighborhood meetings that we have had and about our parks and the great
and
attendance
the
that we had at Boo
Holy
Bash.
Moly.
I know nobody expected 450 kids here for Boo Bash.
Absolutely jaw dropping. It was so much fun. I loved it. More staff updates?
No.
No, okay.
We're done with that. Items to and from, or number 10.
Future CCNR committee agendas. We've got the handbook coming back.
Yes.
Revenue enhancements. You're going to bring that in December, huh?
Yeah, I'll bring that. We did this in October, but not everybody was here. And so the committee that was here asked for it to come back so that all the committee members had it. So.
Yeah, I saw that. I went and read that. That was I was one of the missing people.
Yeah.
On that one. And I did have some questions on it.
Good.
Okay, items to take to the Board of Directors, number 11. I don't recall any that we discussed that need to go.
No.
Matters to and from, this is when we get to share. You guys have anything to share?
I have nothing to share.
Nothing to share. I didn't bring any cookies either.
No, I don't either.
Staff, anything?
No, I think we covered a lot today.
Yeah, I know, and we're late, and I appreciate that, you guys.
Quite all right.
And that means we adjourned.
Okay.
We made it. Item 13. Thank you, everyone.
Do you have a motion?
Would you like
to? I'll move to adjourn.
I think Patricia should make this motion.
Okay. I move to adjourn.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
I
want you to get used to making motions.